And you ever do a search on the internet to find something that sometimes you don't know much about, or sometimes you do? Well, come to find out, a lot of people just don't know what the Feast of Trumpets really is. But there were some who think they do know what it stands for. And going through the internet, I found that some of them had their own answers for it. So I'm going to bring some of them to you. And this is from the Jewish perspective. The Feast of Trumpets marks the beginning of 10 days of consecration and repentance from before God. The Feast of Trumpets begins on the first day at the new moon of the seventh month. Its name comes from the command to blow trumpets. It is also called Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year, because it marks the beginning of the Jewish civil calendar. During this celebration in the temple time, no kind of work was to be performed, but burnt offerings and sin offerings were to be brought before the Lord. Better known today as Rosh Hashanah, Jews celebrate at this time. Jews believe that on this day God created the heavens and earth. They also believe other biblical events happened on this day. For example, they believe that Adam was created on this day and that Samuel was born on this day. They also believe the first temple was dedicated on this day. It became known as head of the year in the Mishnah, but is not called that in the Torah. The Feast of Trumpets celebrations continue for 10 days of repentance, culminating on Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. On this final day, Jewish tradition holds that God opens the books of life and studies the words, actions, and thoughts of every person whose name is written there. If a person's good deeds outweigh or outnumber their sinful acts, their name will remain inscribed in the book for another year. Rosh Hashanah provides God's people with a time to reflect on their lives, turn away from sin, and do good deeds. These practices are meant to give them a more favorable chance of having their name sealed in the book of life for another year. The next one would be three examples from a Protestant's viewpoint. The first example in New Testament, we see that the Lord's second coming will be accompanied by the sound of a trumpet. I quote 1 Corinthians 15:51-52 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Each of the judgments in Revelation 8-9 is also signaled by a trumpet. Just as the shofar called the Jewish nation to turn their attention to the Lord and ready themselves for the Day of Atonement, so will the trump of God call us to heaven and warn the world of coming judgment. When the seventh trumpet is sounded, the kingdom of the world will have become the kingdom of God. Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets, is an Old Testament picture of what the rapture will be like. Now, their second example is an interesting commentary under Bible Study Tools. Christians can learn much from the Jewish traditions and festivals laid out in the Bible. Often we think the Old Testament has little significance in the way we express our love for God. In the case of the Feast of Trumpets, there is a beautiful symbol that Christians should embrace. The celebration of the Feast of Trumpets represents several key thoughts that Christians should hold sacred. First, we should see the feast as a recognition that God is Lord over all the earth. This holy day is a sanctified reminder of that fact. Second, preparing for the Feast of Trumpets reminds us to be ready for the Lord's return. The sound of the shofar is a call to prepare. Third, Christians should recognize the prophetic significance of the day. It is a time when the way of the world way of the world are set aside. Our focus shifts and is solely on the Lord. Lastly, Christians can celebrate the Feast of Trumpets with a joyful heart, knowing our God is a God of new beginnings. Even though this is a Jewish New Year, Christians can celebrate that our God can and does make us clean and new. And then they say, just as Christians celebrate Christmas and Easter, I think we should consider celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. We should take any chance to celebrate the greatness of our God. The third example is from a page known as Rapture Ready, so you can kind of figure what they're going to talk about. Rosh Hashanah, also known as the Feast of Trumpets, is a picture of the catching away of the Bride of Christ. The significance of the believer is that the blowing of the shofar is prophetic to the rapture of the church and will inaugurate the end of days, the coming day of the Lord, the great tribulation, also called Jacob's trouble, day of wrath, day of desolation, day of the Lord, the wrath of God, the wrath, the tribulation, and many more. According to Jewish tradition, on Rosh Hashanah, the destiny of the righteous are written in the book of life, and the destiny of the wicked are written in the book of death. However, most people will not be inscribed in either book, but have 10 days until Yom Kippur, Festival of Atonement, to repent before sealing their fate, hence the 10 days of repentance, days at the Feast of Atonement. Then everyone's name will be sealed in one book or the other. Most Protestants seem to believe that the Feast of Trumpets pictures a time of rapture, being carried to heaven to be with Christ before the time of tribulation coming on all the earth. And then there's one from Behold Israel webpage, which seems to be a messianic perspective. Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, namely the beginning of the Jewish New Year. However, biblically, the feast that we are told to be celebrating has absolutely nothing to do with the beginning of the year, as is the first day of the seventh month. There are many traditions as to why the Feast of Trumpets is now the head of the year, but none of them is biblical whatsoever. However, the trumpets element is a unique feast, is extremely important. The Bible tells us that God ordered Moses to make two silver trumpets. These trumpets were formed in order to direct the camp in its journeys from Mount Sinai towards the Promised Land, as well as calling for the attention of the people. Since 1948, for the first time in modern history, the nation of Israel and the church exist at the same time. I believe that God is using both of them as the two silver trumpets, calling for the attention of the world and preparing those that are willing to repent and get ready for their journey to the real Promised Land, the promise of the Lord. And then one more is a search for Catholic teaching on it, just regulates to the past and to Jewish tradition. They do not give any significance for the Christian way of life. So after hearing all of this on how we should celebrate the feast day and what is its meaning, were any of them correct? If you'll turn with me to Revelation 11. Revelation 11 and verse 15. We'll read about the sounding of trumpets at the end time. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." What leads up to this seventh trumpet sounding? You can read about the first four in Revelation 8, which I'll paraphrase. First trumpet heralds destruction of vegetation on the earth. The second, the sea turns to blood. and death of much of the life in the seas. The third, fresh water is contaminated. The fourth, a portion of the sun and moon and stars darkened. Three trump blasts remain and are also called the three woes. These are found in Revelation 9, which I'll condense that down. First woe and the fifth trumpet is torment to those without the seal of God for 5 months, and the tormentors have Satan as king over them. Second woe, the sixth trumpet, 200 million army, and plagues that kill a third of those still living. The third woe, the seventh trumpet, the two witnesses are resurrected who had been prophesying for 3.5 years and murdered 3.5 days earlier after the seventh angel sounds the trumpet. This is the final trumpet. Christ is here to rule the earth, put down the rule of the beast, and start his reign of peace. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, read 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. But we'll not remain in the air or go to heaven. And the last verse, if you turn to Revelation 19, Revelation 19 and verses 19 through 21. To read the end of the matter after Christ returns on a white horse and the saints with him. And I saw the beast, the king of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. The Jewish perspective only sees it from the past and as a celebration of a new year and time of intersection before the Feast of Atonement. They do not seem to give it any future significance other than having your name in the book of life for another year. It's Protestant view is of a rapture that will happen with the return of Christ on the seventh trumpet sound, but somehow before the tribulation. Messianic view seems to think that there will be a collaboration between Jews and Christians represented by two trumpets that Moses was told to have had. The Catholics pretty much ignore it as something only significant to the Jews. If you were newly aware of the Feast of Trumpets being in the Bible, you might come away confused by all these searches. The Bible shows us this time of the Feast of Trumpets. At the sound of that final and seventh trumpet, Christ will return as a conquering hero. Tribulation and time of trouble will be brought to an end, and Christ will rule over all the earth. He will bring an amazing time in the history of mankind that will lead to real and lasting peace. Up until now, the history of mankind has been written in numerous wars and bloodshed. With the return of Christ, it will be written in peace and the kingdom that will not end. No more young men sacrificing themselves in war to try to bring safety and peace to their loved ones. No more children being harmed. No more wild animals attacking. because even their nature will be changed. Never take for granted this knowledge revealed to us that the rest of the world gropes in darkness and tried to understand. Today ushers in a time ahead when the veil will be lifted and the knowledge of our God will reach the ends of the earth.